Let's read together Genesis 47, verses 1 through 12. Now, in this first section of Genesis 47, we see Joseph presenting his brothers and his father before Pharaoh, and we also see Jacob blessing Pharaoh. Genesis 47, beginning at verse 1. Then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds, and all that they possess, have come from the land of Canaan. And indeed they are in the land of Goshen." And he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." And they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to sojourn in the land, because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock." Then Joseph brought in his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread, according to the number in their families. All right, let's first of all consider a few background notes. In Genesis 46, we had the arrival of Jacob and all his family in Egypt. They had come to join Joseph at the invitation of Pharaoh because there were still 5 years of famine left. The first thing Joseph did, once he had settled his family in the land of Goshen, was to bring five of his brothers before Pharaoh in order to make a formal request to reside temporarily in Egypt. Why five, and which five brothers Joseph brought, we don't know. The five probably included Judah, because Judah, it turns out, was becoming the chief spokesman for the brothers. Well, Pharaoh confirmed that they could stay in Goshen, the best of the land in Egypt. In verse 11, the land of Goshen is also called the land of Ramses. Now, the pharaohs, Ramses I and Ramses II, which are well-known pharaohs in Egyptian history, they both came to power after this time. So most likely, they took their names from the name of this area, rather than the other way around. After Joseph's brothers had presented their official request to dwell in the land, Joseph then brought in his father Jacob and introduced him to Pharaoh. And Jacob proceeded to bless Pharaoh. And we'll see that that blessing is fulfilled in the second half of this chapter. This blessing, by the way, would certainly come under the terms of the Abrahamic covenant. Back in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, God said to Abraham, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Pharaoh here certainly had been kind to Abraham's descendants. Now he is being blessed in return. Well, so much for our background notes. Now what about doctrinal or teaching points? Doctrinal or teaching point number one: God moves the hearts of people for divine purposes. God moves the hearts of people for divine purposes. Proverbs 21 and verse 1 says this: "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." That's essentially our doctrinal point. And we certainly see that truth taught here. God's divine purpose was to bring Jacob and his family to Egypt. In Egypt, they would be safe from the idolatry and immorality of Canaan. In Egypt, they would not intermarry with the pagan Egyptians because, Genesis 46, 34, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. In Egypt, God would forge this small group of shepherds into a nation that would become great and would outlive all other nations. Now, already we've seen how God used circumstances to bring this about. Pharaoh's dream, Joseph becoming prime minister over all of Egypt, the famine, circumstances that God is using to bring about these divine purposes. Now, in this chapter, Genesis 47 especially, we see how God moved the heart of Pharaoh with kindness toward Jacob and his family. Look again at verses 5 and 6. Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock." What an offer. Even job opportunities. Here they are, Bedouin-type shepherds who are an abomination to the Egyptians, and the best of the land of Egypt is offered to them. Why such kindness? Well, you know the answer, right? God moves the hearts of people for divine purposes. Can God move the hearts of people today for divine purposes? Of course he can. And not just Christians. He can move the hearts of anyone to accomplish his divine purposes. When the modern state of Israel was born in 1948, God moved the hearts of prime ministers and presidents to accomplish his divine purpose. And after almost 2,000 years, the nation of Israel was reborn. God can move the hearts of people today for divine purposes in your life, in reference to a job, in reference to buying or selling a home, for example. Whatever. God can move the hearts of people for divine purposes. And he does. Remember Proverbs 21, verse 1. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. The heart of the king, or the heart of the boss, or the heart of the state official. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord like rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. God moves the hearts of people for divine purposes. Doctrinal point number 2. God measures the status of people by divine standards. God measures the status of people by divine standards. Verse 7 once again. Then Joseph brought in his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Wait a minute. I thought the Bible said that the lesser is blessed by the greater. It does. That verse is found in Hebrews 7, verse 7. But here is the great Pharaoh of Egypt, sitting on his throne in the palace, robed in splendor with all kinds of servants attending him, thought by the Egyptians to be the embodiment of the gods. And here comes old Jacob, probably dressed in his best, but still a shepherd, looked down on by the Egyptians, and yet Jacob blessed Pharaoh twice. In verse 8, when he came into the throne room, and verse 10, when he left. How come? Because from God's perspective, Jacob is greater than Pharaoh. God measures the status of people by divine standards. And the same is true today. The world measures the status of people by how much money they have, or how much power they have, or how much prestige they have. You know, it's easy for us to fall into that trap too, right? But not God. God measures the status of people by his divine standards. And God's standard is Christ. How do people treat his beloved son? Most of the people who have status in this world have rejected Christ. So be encouraged if you're here this morning and you feel that somehow you haven't made it in this world's eyes. So what? You love the Lord? Then you've got status with God. God measures the status of people by divine standards. Now, what about practical application from this first section of Genesis 47? Practical application number 1. Let's have a pilgrim mindset. Let's have a pilgrim mindset. Verse 9 once again. And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. What does Jacob mean here when he says his years have been few and evil or unpleasant? I mean, you think 130 years old, how many here would like to go that long, right? Well, even though Jacob is 130 years old, his grandfather, Abraham, had lived to 175, Genesis chapter 25. And his father, Isaac, had lived to 180 years, Genesis 35. And Jacob had gone through some very unpleasant and difficult times in his 130 years. Think of him running from Esau, cheated by Laban. Think of that unpleasant experience in Genesis 34, the massacre at Shechem. Think of the death of his beloved wife, Rachel, the loss of Joseph. But the point here is that he considered his life a pilgrimage. His home was not in Egypt. His home was not in Canaan. Jacob looked forward to his eternal home with God in heaven. Listen to the words of Hebrews 11 and verse 16. This is in reference to the patriarchs, and Jacob is included. But now they, that is the patriarchs, desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So as a result, the patriarchs, including Jacob, had a pilgrim mindset. That's what it says of these men of faith in verse 13 of Hebrews 11. Let me read that. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They had a pilgrim mindset. We too should have a pilgrim mindset. If you have a pilgrim mindset, a biblical lifestyle will follow. Do we have a pilgrim mindset? We're not drifters running away from home, and we're not vagabonds or gypsies who have no home. We are pilgrims. We're going home. We have a home, but it's not here on this earth. Let's have a pilgrim mindset. Practical application number two. Are you ashamed of your family? Are you ashamed of your family? Now, this application is particularly for the young people here this morning. Are you ashamed of your family? Joseph was not ashamed of his family. Even though they were shepherds and at the bottom rung of the social ladder there in Egypt, here was Joseph, now sophisticated and educated and advanced in the empire of Egypt, but he does not look down on his family. He respects them. He honors them. He brings them before Pharaoh. You know, I've always been impressed with the character of my students who speak well of their parents and families. What about you young people here this morning? Are you ashamed of your family?